In honor of the skit today, that was a good skit, wasn't it? Amen. We're going to talk about the Word of God, how important it is in our life. So the title of my message today is called Spirit Words. Spirit Words. You know, we all probably have some place that we go to when you have questions in life, right? I mean, we all have a go-to. These days, it seems like it's Google, right? If you're a hypochondriac, you probably go to WebMD. I don't know. You know, if you're looking for problems all the time. But, you know, there's always somewhere we can go, and I want us to see today that, you know, we need to go to God's Word because God's Word is what's going to pick us up and not put us down. You know, where do you turn to for relief? You know, a lot of time it's ibuprofen, but I think we need, as I've always said, need to get the gospel, right? You know, get the gospel in our life. The gospel's the good news. You know, a lot of times we don't share enough of the good news because we kind of maybe kind of tell the things that we can't do instead of telling, you know, people what they can do. And one thing that really turned me on to God was finding out what I could do. And I could do a lot more than they let on. You know what I mean? Because the good news is about what Jesus set us free from. Now we're going to look at a couple scriptures today. John 6:63. I'm going to look at it from a couple translations. We're going to look at three different passages, and both from the New American Standard as well as the Message translation. The New American Standard as well as the Message translation. Okay, it says, "It is a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and our life." Okay, that's the New American Standard. Now, the Message, it don't speak of the good English, you know what I mean? It kind of speaks like I do sometimes. I notice one word that's off. Maybe you English teachers in here probably pick it up on it real quick. But it says the spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I have spoken to you is spirit word. It is also life-making. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the anointing that's here today, Lord. We thank you for all the good things you've done so far. But Lord, we know there's more. And Lord, we just turn up our expectations on the inside of us, Lord, that we desire to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth here as it is in heaven. And Lord, I thank you for the gift that you put inside me, Lord, to be able to bring the Word of God. I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the Word out of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Okay, so the first point we're going to look at is spiritual words, how important they are. You know, a little background about this passage, Jesus was talking to his followers, and it really freaked a lot of the followers out, because as they were following him, he made a statement about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And what happened then, it separated the men from the boys, shall we say, because many of them fell away. And they walked away from him because they didn't understand that Jesus was talking on a spiritual plane. They could only see it in the natural plane. And so they walked away from him. And I just want to mention there's a difference between a follower and a disciple. Now, followers, they'll walk away at any time. They'll follow only as long as it's good for them. But a disciple, that is somebody that's going to stay until the end. And that's why Jesus says, go and make disciples. He didn't say go make followers. He said, go and make disciples. Now, a lot of people get offended really easy. Some people, you know, just get mad at the drop of a hat. And what happens then is they miss out on really what God was wanting to do there. Because, and people our day get mad real easy too. They get offended. And it happens. That's why we need to always try to think the best and look for the best in every situation. They had to know after following Jesus, watching him do the things that he did, that maybe there was more to that story than meets the eye. Now, I want us to look at it from the idea, how many have a dog here today? You don't have it here, but you have a dog. You know, the odds are you probably go to the store. I don't know, maybe we could have a dog to church today. I don't know, maybe not. I don't know. How many buy dog food for their dog? Probably. Now, most people don't feed cat food to their dog because unless they run out, right? You know? So then if you have a cat, you buy cat food. What do you feed a Christian? Spirit food. Spirit food. See, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. The sad thing that we have in our culture today, with all this access with Google and with all this information, so many Christians are spiritually malnourished. They're malnourished. Because we spend a lot of time feeding our head, but we don't spend very much time feeding our heart. And getting us to the place where we can live that overcoming life and do the things that Jesus said. Jesus says, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. So Jesus paved the way for you and I to be able to walk in this victory that he has promised. Now, God's word renews our mind. We know that, Romans 12:2, right? Be not conformed, but be transformed. See, God's word renews our mind, but it also feeds our spirit, because we need spirit food. Now, what happens is the fact that God's word fixes our head, and God's word feeds our heart. It's okay to get your head fixed, because that's what happens when we put the Word of God in. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we process information. Hopefully, we start to look at things through the eyes of God, through the eyes of God's Word, and we start to interpret that information, and then we start to apply it to our life. But what happens many times is that we fall short of really what God's doing, because God wants us to have the kind of spiritual meat that he wants us to grow with. You know, Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. Now, a lot of Christians, you know, like most of us, you know, if we could have a pick, how many like carbs? I mean, carbs aren't good for you all the time, but if you just ate a carb diet, oh, I could eat spaghetti with the best of them. Oh, my gosh. Years ago, you know, I kind of cut that out. I still eat it every now and then. But I could eat a plate of spaghetti where you could not get one more noodle or any more sauce on that plate. And I just devoured it. I loved it. That was my favorite comfort food. And see, that's what we all kind of look at in God's Word sometimes. We just go after the carbs. We go after the feel-good message. But God wants us to also partake in meat. You know, Paul criticized, I think it was Paul, but whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, mentioned the fact that, you know, hey, you still, you know, God wants you to eat meat, but yet you're still drinking milk. You know, we're still drinking milk. Now, milk's okay, but God wants us to have meat. He challenges us to get into the meat of his word. And that's important that we do that, because as we do that, you know, you need that, shall we say, protein in our life to be able to grow and to be able to mature and to be able to live the overcoming life, because that's really what it's all about. You know, spirit words, what I've found out in my life is that they pick you up and they don't put you down. And as we look to God's word and how powerful that is, of when it comes into us, it starts to change us and it starts to build us up so we're stronger in the faith. Now we can stand our ground where we used to run away from the devil. Now we can stand our ground. And we don't bow our knee to anybody other than Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to do. But to do that, we're going to have to start eating meat. We're going to have to start to get the meat of God's word. Now, not everybody's going to understand this, you know, in the world anyway. You know, the next scripture I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And I'd love to do a series on this. I'm still thinking about it. I'd love to. Well, if God releases me. But it says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. In the Message Bible, it says, the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by spirit. God's spirit and our spirits in open communion. Okay, the next point is only spirit can know spirit. Now, the Bible tells us God is a spirit. John 4 talks about it. God is a spirit. We are also a spirit. We're created in his image. We're a spirit being. So the way that we speak to God, where we really communicate with Him and tap into Him, is on a spiritual plane. Now, a lot of times, you know, those who are, I don't want to say this wrong, over highly educated, you know what I mean? Where they parsect and dissect and trisect all the Word of God and whittle it down till there's hardly anything left. And they know the information, but they don't really know the God of the information, because it's only a head thing. And that's what we need to get around, because the Bible tells us here plainly is that spiritually dead people cannot understand spiritually alive things, and that's just the way it is. Spiritually dead people cannot really tap into the things the Spirit of God is telling us. And that's why we need to remember, as disciples, as people who have been converted, who are born again, that when we're speaking to the world and you wonder why they don't get it, it's because they can't. And that's why we need to pray for them, that God will open their eyes and open their heart. Because we can easily criticize them. I'll be honest, I don't want to get too political here, but I'm going to touch on a subject that may, you know, trigger some people. But I don't know about you, but, you know, abortion is wrong. That baby is alive. And how could anybody in their right mind say that is not alive? They're spiritually dead. They don't understand. And the good news is that science is finally catching up with God. 20, 30 years ago, Christians were preaching how that baby's alive, and science couldn't really prove, you know, when the heartbeat and when all this stuff. But as science gets more catching up with God, now they can actually prove when that life starts and how we need to stand. Now, I don't want to offend nobody about that, but I'm sorry. That is a life. And that life deserves to live. And if we're going to be, you know, a people that just wants to fit in with the world, these spiritually dead people that don't care about human life because it's their choice, it is their choice, but I have a choice too. And that choice is to choose life. That's what Jesus says. Spirit words bring life. Now we know, I don't get mad at people that believe different from me, because I knew know that most of them are spiritually dead. I was spiritually dead. I didn't understand the things of God. Not until I was born again. I remember picking up the Bible time and time again growing up. I would look at that thing and I'd try to read a few things. I'd pick up a little bit, but for the most part, never got much out of it. Because my heart wasn't ready to be converted yet. I was still wanting to do my thing and not God's thing. But when I finally came to the place where I understood that I really needed Jesus more than I needed anything else in this world, I was born again. And then all of a sudden, this book that was so foreign to me all of a sudden started to make sense. Now, I don't understand all of it, but I do understand enough. You know, and that enough's going to get me through. And I'm still growing, and I hope you'll stay growing too. And just, you know, we need to pray more for the unsaved, because they are in a different place than we are. I'm not making excuses for them, but I'm just wanting to have us to the point in our walk with God where we show love, where we love them. Some people try to smother people with love, but we need to love them in the sense where we love them to life, if you know what I'm saying. We need to love them to life. And like I mentioned, the reading the Bible is a whole lot better when you're born again. You know, we can only connect with God on a spiritual plane. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. Jesus says, He is the Word. He is the Word. And, you know, all these things kind of gem together. And I don't want to go too deep in this today. But for the primary part, when we read the Bible, it's a spiritual book. It's a book that feeds our spirit. And there's a battle raging inside of each and every one of us right now. And that battle is for the soul. On one hand, God and our spirit are wanting to gravitate that way. Then on the other hand, you have the old nature, which is trying to claw and pull us back so that we don't change. But God wants us to change, and change is good, as long as change is for the better, amen? Amen. And so if we're willing to participate with God and be a part of what God's doing, then we're going to start to see success in our life. But I will say this, when we only connect with God with our mind, we are limited by our education about God. And that's a problem. Because if we can only connect with God in our mind, then how far we are with God in our understanding in our mind is going to limit us. But I want to challenge us today, if we can connect with God in our spirit, then we're limitless. There's no telling how far we can go. Because in our spirit, as we connect with God, there's something that happens inside of us. And then in that renewal process, the Word of God just starts to transform and it starts to change us. And it brings us to the place He wants us to be, where there's no boundaries. A life without boundaries, what would that be like? Where we're not bound by our unbelief or bound by the problems of this world and what everybody else is dealing with. But we can actually say that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you need to write this down. Don't let your head get in the way of a good revelation. Don't let your head get in the way of a good revelation. Because that's what happens. Is that we get a revelation from God, but our head doesn't process that. It won't let us go and trust and start to believe and to walk in that. So that's why we need to let go and let God. And start to believe Him and start to walk in the areas that He wants us to. Now, my last passage I want to look at, I knew with the drama skit today, I was going to abbreviate my time a little bit. But 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And this has been a great scripture. I hope you have this highlighted, underlighted, or however you light them up in your Bible. Amen. And if you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one. I want a book Bible. You know what I mean? I have a Bible on my phone. I have all kinds of translations. I have, you know, thousands of dollars of church study software. But I will say this, my go-to book is the book. Because, you know, you can get different things, and if you don't know what translation to get, come see me and I'll help you maybe pick a source. But you, if you can't afford one, you know, go without a couple bottles of pop a week, amen. And you can afford one, glory to God. You know, we'll help you a little bit if necessary. But you can get a paperback until you afford a leather one. I got a leather Bible. I've always had leather because God's Word is the most important thing in my life. And I've always wanted a good Bible. And every time I bought one, I've always went for that. And, you know, it's important to have a Bible written in a language you understand because you can highlight it. You can get different, you know, pens, you know, some that don't bleed through. And this is my thing. I don't like it when it bleeds through and messes with my other side of my page. It's just me. You know, but you can get these little gel pens and different dry things, and you can mark up your Bible and write notes in the back, and that way it's your book. That's between you and God. You know, how about the electricity goes out? You don't have a Bible no more because your phone died. So then what? Get a Bible. Amen. Bring it to church. You know, hallelujah. Bring it to church. Mark it up a little bit. You know, enjoy it. That's God communicating with you. And that's safe stuff right there. All right, my last point. I haven't read scripture yet, have I? Okay, cool. I lose my way some days. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, New American Standard says, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Message Bible says, "And now we look back on all this and thank God, an artisan well of thanks. When you got the message of God we preached, you didn't pass it off as just one more human opinion, but you took it to heart as God's true word to you, which it is, God Himself at work in you believers." So, the Bible is not human opinion. And I want us to think about the point that God's word to me. God's word to me. And that's why it's important to have a Bible. Because God is trying to speak to us. And there's a few components that kind of have to come into play, which this passage of scripture kind of insinuates to us. Because we hear a lot of things, don't you? I mean, I hear stuff all the time. I mean, some people spend their life on YouTube, you know what I mean? They get all kinds of opinions and information from YouTube, and maybe you Google stuff, and maybe you read different sources. Maybe you watch the news and you hear all that stuff. And so you got all this stuff just kind of coming at you all the time. We live, you know, primarily in the information age. So much information going out that it's hard to really, you know, in a sense, keep track of all of it. And so how do we prioritize some of the information? Now, some news sources, fake news, you know what I'm saying? But some news sources you might trust. Now, one source you can always trust, and that's the Bible, God's holy word, okay? You can trust this book. It has a lot of information in it, a lot of stuff in there that we can get into. Because what happens in life, I don't know about you, but a lot of times we have to go, each of us at times in our life, through the valley of decision. You know what I'm saying? You come to that fork in the road. Has anybody been at a fork in the road? You're coming up there and everything's straight smooth riding, then all of a sudden, there's a choice to make. The valley of decision. What do I do? Which way do I go? Do I go to the left? Do I go to the right? How do you find that information out? How do I process this decision? You know, what are some of the things I need to go through in my life? Well, I do know the Bible says if you're a child of God, He's going to lead you by His Spirit. That's a good thing. You know, with all those voices out there, you got to be able to discern the voice of God. And we just came through a prayer series. If you missed some of those, go check them out online. Kind of help you get close to God and hear God's voice and to learn a little more about Him. But also through the Word of God. I remember one of my first major missionary trips. I think it was my first one. Maybe it was my second one. In Bible school, I went to Europe, and I was at a conference where I was able to see a lot of big speakers. It was a YWAM conference, and Brother Andrew was there, and, you know, Ravi Zacharias, many of you know who that is. He's an apologist now, and just a lot of great stuff happening there. At the end of the conference, they said they had all these opportunities. I mean, maybe 20 or 30, I don't remember for sure right now, missionary opportunities where you could pick a country and go to. And it was my responsibility to get to that country. I was already in Denmark, you know. But, you know, I said, God, where do you want me to go? You know, what do you want me to do? So I just spent time in the Word, and all of a sudden He led me to Acts chapter 17, and it talked about Athens. Or Greece. And looking, lo and behold, there was an opportunity in Greece. God spoke to me through the Word of God. Now, I know that not every state in the United States is mentioned in the Bible. I do know that. You know, so you're not going to pick Iowa out of the Bible, although it is God's place on the planet. That's great, ain't it? But what happened is that by God, all of a sudden, boom, that just jumped out to me. Boom, He spoke to me. So, hopped on a train. Over 2 days later, I was in Greece. Met one of the greatest missionary couples I've ever met in my life. As a matter of fact, I went back and spent several missionary trips with them. Just had a great relationship with them. And none of that would have happened if I wouldn't have received something from God's Word. About how he was challenged. We did a lot of street preaching, did a lot of different things over there. So, just a powerful time. But the thing is, with all those voices out there, we have to decide how are we going to respond to God's Word. You know, we can run with it or we can run away from it, right? A lot of people run away from God's Word. You know, they see something in there and all of a sudden they don't like exactly what it's going to say because at the valley of decision, at the fork in the road, we have to choose life or choose death. And it sounds like a simple question to answer, doesn't it? How many would choose death? None of us, probably. But with death comes maybe something that we enjoy, some sin we're involved in, where we're not really ready to let go of yet. And it's not really going to kill us physically, immediately. It's just going to a little bit, day by day, drag us away from God. And sometimes people choose death because it's an easy road. But see, God says, here, I have life right here. You got to come this way. I have a lot of great things I want to show you, some things that I want to see happen. So we can choose to run with it or run from it. To me, there's a decision after we say amen. How many said amen before? I think we all have, right? Prayed a prayer, go God. I'll follow you. I'll do anything you want me to do. Just help me through this problem. Amen. Well, after we say amen, there needs to be corresponding action. That's why the Bible says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Anybody can say amen, but it's what we do after we say amen that tells if we're going to get our miracle or not. Because sometimes we have to just step out in faith and just believe in the face of all kinds of adversity and everything that the enemy brings against us, you know. And see, God has not just called us out of the world, but he's called us into something great, something that he wants us to be a part of. And I believe that we're living in a day where we're going to be a part of something where God's going to pour out his spirit. We're going to start to see people just saved just right and left. And I want to be so much a part of that. But to do that, I got to step out and I got to step in. We have to respond to that invitation. God's word has the answers that we're all looking for. But first, we have to believe that it's a word from God. That's, you know, is this the Bible or isn't it? You know, a lot of people are going to try to talk you out of it. Say, oh, that was written a long time ago. And a lot of people, you know, they just made it up. And yeah, all that stuff. And there's a lot of people get led astray because they look at it from a human perspective. And they miss out on the spiritual perspective, where we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. God says his word will not return void. God said he has the ability to watch over his word to perform it. So all these things, so we have a choice. We're at a fork in the road. How do we want to proceed? Do we want to get into the word and see what the word of God can do in our life? Or do we want to just go through the motions? Believe me, people, I know what it's like to go through the motions. I've been saved for over 30-some years. And there's been high times and low times and all kinds of times. I could sing, you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille, but doing in a spiritual way. You know, been through so many things. Been through some sad times. Been through some bad times. You know, this time the hurting won't heal. Now that's a lie there. Because God will heal. Amen. Amen. God will heal. But see, we're at that fork. And we have to decide, and I'll be honest, you may have a bunch of people following you. But when you take that fork in the road closer to God and you look back, there may not be as many people there. Just like Jesus in John chapter 6, he had a whole bunch of people following him until he told them you got to drink his blood and eat his flesh. Then they skedaddled, went off to something different. That freaked them out. Not into cannibalism. I'm not into cannibalism either. But I do know it was a spiritual thing. The idea of spiritually partake of his flesh, and it's like taking the life of him inside of us, and it's the same idea with, you know, the covenant when we drink the blood, or, you know, we partake of the juice, what we do, that it's a sign of a covenant, and that the blood of Jesus, how powerful it is. So if we keep feeding our spirit, believe me, our head will follow. You know, God's word is life-changing power that works every time when it's applied by faith. Every time. We have to apply it by faith. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A little trick you can do, don't wait to come hear me every Sunday. Read your Bible out loud at home. Amen. Read your Bible out loud at home. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And that's a way that we can energize our faith. And then after we energize it, then we step out and we start to walk it. Now believe me, people, that's when you start to grow exponentially, is when you start acting on God's Word. Amen?